Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Today is National Police Officer Memorial Day. In the second part of a two-part program on Marion County law enforcement officers who lost their lives in the line of duty that parts of first aired in 2008, let's go in-depth with Knoxville Police Chief Dan Lasada, the late former Pella Police Chief Bob Hauser, and Marion County Jailer Scott Jerkins. The following interview with Chief Hauser was in 2008. He passed away in 2010. Bob, you were Pella Police Chief.
Yes.
How long were you Pella Police Chief?
11 years.
From what date to what date approximately? What years?
1957 till 1968.
And you were Chief when a Marion County officer went down in the line of duty
right.
In Pella?
Yes.
And that was Officer Harold Gates?
Harold Gates, yes.
I know it was a long time ago. It was 1967. Do you remember the events of that night?
Well, it happened at about 10 minutes till 4 in the afternoon. But I got called then at home here, and I went right up there. They were already there.
That was near Clark and Oskaloosa?
Yes, right up there. It's just five houses up here, four here and one on the other side where that used car lot is. Now it used to be an oil station. It was a house on the other side of that. And two of my officers were there, had been called there. We had no idea what was going to happen or anything like this at all. It was something that we didn't expect. When we got up there, he was not there. He had, according to some of the neighbors, had put some material in his car and had left. And this one guy says he's parked on the other side of the block. So I and one of my officers walked around that way, and we saw his car, but he wasn't there. But in the meantime, he'd come back home the other direction, walking. And he was back in the house when we got back over here. And then, why we don't know, Officer Gates drove in the alley there with his patrol car. And there was three of our officers there then at the time. And he come driving in the alley from the east down the alley, headed west. And the next thing we knew, we heard this shot. And he had shot through the windshield of the sheriff's car, or hit the windshield right in front of the steering wheel, and of course the bullet didn't go in. So Officer Gates stopped the car and opened the door and got out. And I could see this happen when he got out of the car. As soon as he got out of the car rolled away. It was a push-button Plymouth, and he didn't get it in park. And the car rolled on down the driveway, past the house, and left him out in the open. And that's when he got shot. And at the same time, I had an officer right there by Harold. And when he shot the sheriff, this officer of mine, there was a garage sitting right there. He got around the corner of this garage, just around the corner, and he put a bullet through the corner of the garage. But we were lucky it was a 4x4 post in there, and the bullet went into the 4x4 post. Or I'd probably had another one there. And that was about the way it happened.
Well, what happened then?
Well, we called the ambulance because Harold was the sheriff's officer, or was not dead at the time at all. He was wounded. And we got an ambulance there to get him out of there. And this was shortly after it happened, but before we got the ambulance there, this guy came out of the house, and I was just a little ways away. And he came out with a gun, and so there was not much I could do, because I was out in the open behind a little doghouse, and that's when I shot him. And that's about the way it all happened.
You don't know anything about why this happened, why the officer lost his life?
No, I don't. We didn't even know he was going to be on the scene there. We were there, and I suppose he heard us on the radio, and he drove in there, which would have happened probably, you know, if we're out doing something and we might need help, he would be the first one to come there and help. And that's, I think, what happened here.
Because he was with the Pella Police Force before, and he...
Before, yeah. He'd worked with us a lot, and he just drove in there. Nobody seems to know why. I mean, nobody called him. The only thing we know, he might have heard us on the radio or something like this. It was a surprise to all of us when we saw him come in the alley there. But then we didn't know what was going to happen when he did come in the alley. We just thought, well, he's going to come help us out if we need some help. And this is what happened. That's about the only thing I know about it.
What are your thoughts now after so many years have passed about the event?
Well, I don't know of anything else we could have did different. We had no choice, as far as I know, and could figure out. It was something that, yeah, had to be done, I think. We wouldn't have... I know what would have happened if it hadn't happened. There'd have been some more of us got shot, too, because he come out with a loaded gun.
So he was looking to shoot other officers?
I would almost say yes.
Why else would he be coming out with a gun?
Right. Yeah, in fact, he had two of them. And he had shot himself, but not enough to slow him down any. He'd shot himself with a pistol in the shoulder area right here.
So he shot himself? It wasn't a wound that somebody else...
No. He had never... Nobody had ever had a shot at him. The only shooting that was done was he did that out of the window of the back of the house at the patrol car and at one of my officers. But when he came out of the house, he was carrying a little short 22 pistol and a shotgun. And I was probably from here to my fountain out their way and looking right at him when he came out the door.
So 35, 40 feet.
Yeah, across the city alley and maybe 30 foot of a yard up to his house to the door. And, yeah, he come out with a shotgun, and you're not going to stand there and wait and see what you're going to, you know, after he's already shot 2P or shot one and shot at one of my officers, you're not going to give him a chance to look around. Because in our own mind, in all of us' mind that was there, he was going to do some more shooting the way he come out. If he would have come out with no guns or anything like that, it'd been an altogether different story. And that's about all I can tell you about it.
More in depth after this. I spoke with Marion County Jailer Scott Jerkins about Virgil Behrens, a Marion County transport officer who died in a tragic accident on his way to training. Well, Scott, I spoke with Sheriff Sandholt this morning, and he expressed some thoughts about the loss of Virgil Behrens. But what he really wanted me to do was to talk with you for this interview.
Sure.
Because you worked day-to-day with Virgil then. What was Virgil like?
Virgil was one of a kind. I mean, everybody here at the office had the utmost respect for him. He was a valuable asset to our office for years. He showed up every day ready and willing to do anything asked of him. And his primary objective here was either inmate or committal transports. And everybody, he got to know a lot of people around the state doing that. And he very quickly got associated as the Marion County Sheriff's Office throughout the state because he went everywhere performing those transports.
And he had a career in the state patrol before, right?
Correct. He was an Iowa State Trooper, retired, I believe it was in 1995, and he was with the state patrol for, I want to say, over 30 years when he retired, and then came on with the Sheriff's Office about a year before I was hired in 1996, he was already here doing those transports.
And people don't understand what's involved with the transport. Could you explain it a little bit?
Sure. It's a 24-hour a day on call, 365 days a year. If we receive a court order for a transport, either for someone in custody that needs to be taken somewhere or brought back to our facility, or an emergency committal to a number of places throughout the state, or sometimes even beyond. You know, you made the one phone call to Virgil, and without question, he'd be here to take care of it.
And he seemed to enjoy the
job. He did. He did. He enjoyed the job. He enjoyed talking with people, and I think more than that, he kind of enjoyed the camaraderie around our office.
Mm-hmm. And so how did we lose Virgil?
Unfortunately, we lost Virgil on June 3rd of 2008. He and two detention officers were on their way to the Iowa Law Enforcement Academy in Johnston for continuing training, and unfortunately, they were involved in a traffic accident. And we lost Virgil in that accident, and the two other officers that were with him sustained fairly severe injuries, one of which is not currently employed with us anymore, but the other one is. But unfortunately, the loss of Virgil was difficult for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was the mood like when you all heard the news that day?
It was terrible. I actually received the call from Polk County Sheriff's Office as soon as I came into the office that morning that our transport vehicle was involved in an accident, and that they didn't have much information other than Life Flight had been dispatched. And at the time, our sheriff was Ron Gomat, and I made contact with him, and he and I got into a vehicle and drove up to the accident scene in Polk County, just outside of Altoona, and then from there went to the hospital, and where Sheriff Gomat and I spent the next several days, if not weeks, there with Virgil's family.
Mm-hmm. Think people still miss Virgil?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, he's referred to, if not daily, pretty close to it. A lot of memories, and like I said, Virgil was one of a kind, and he's sorely missed.
More in depth after this. I spoke with Knoxville Police Chief Dan Lasada last year about the loss of Officer Bert Conray in 1938. So, Chief, for years, every day about Police Officer Memorial Day, we at K&I CareLess, we run stories on Johnny Van Haften, the Pell officer who died in Knoxville long ago, and then Harold Gates, the Marion County Sheriff's Officer that died in Pella, and those were in, like, 1967 for Harold Gates, 1980, I believe, for Johnny Van Haften. And earlier this year, I have a friend, Steve Donnelly, who said, Bob, I've been meaning to tell you all these years, but you missed one. You missed somebody. And indeed, we did, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And I had to tell you, it was a shock when you came to talk to me about this and asked me about it. But it took about 5 minutes of research on the internet to find that the City of Knoxville Police Department had a police officer killed in the line of duty in the 1930s. It's amazing. The gentleman's name was Marion Albert Conray. He went by Bert Conray. And he was a police officer in town for over 20 years. At the time, it happened on March 17th, 1938, I think it was. He was on patrol downtown and stopped to talk to two people that looked to be intoxicated and basically told them to go home. This married couple walked down the street, turned around, came back and attacked him. During the course of the attack, he got knocked to the ground and got kicked in the head. About a week later, he dies in the hospital of brain injuries. And it's amazing that this happened in Knoxville and the police department didn't remember it. And so we're taking some efforts now to try to remember that person and get Mr. Conray, Officer Conray, recognized as an officer killed in the line of duty.
Well, and Steve Donnelly, who brought this to my attention, if I'm remembering correctly, he told me his dad saw the incident, saw that it happened. So it must have been common knowledge at one time.
It was common knowledge. And as I started doing research into this, I started asking around, even within the police department, and a few officers remember this and remember many years ago starting to do some looking at it, but not being able to find a lot of information, so they didn't pursue the matter. I did a little bit more digging, and nowadays with the internet, it makes it a little bit easier. And I was able to find newspaper clippings from Pella, Ames, and Knoxville that talked about the story. And then I was able to go get copies at the courthouse of the original complaint filed by the county attorney at the time, and put all that together with all this research, enough now that I think I have enough information to get Officer Conray recognized on the national databases and also the Iowa database of officers killed.
Okay, and so it's a database that just that documents what happened, and so that folks, that these men and women, maybe, I don't know, can be honored.
Yes. Well, both the state of Iowa and the national organization, it's known as the National Law Enforcement Officer Memorial Fund in D.C., have memorial walls. The wall in Iowa has the name of every police officer killed in the line of duty in the state of Iowa. In D.C., it's every officer in the United States that's been killed in the line of duty. And each year in the D.C., they add names on Law Enforcement Memorial Day in May. And some of those are the officers that were killed in the prior year. And there's also a number of rediscovered officers killed. So hopefully I've been able to provide them with enough documentation that they'll add this as an officer killed in a prior year.
The day this interview airs, May 15th, 2015, Officer Conray is being recognized for the first time at the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial in Washington, D.C., along with the over 20,000 U.S. law enforcement officers who have died in the line of duty throughout history. Thanks to Dan Lasada, Bob Hauser, and Scott Jerkins for contributing to the program. And a special thanks to our fallen officers and their families for the sacrifices that they've made. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.